Five times, Stiles and Derek's classmates noticed they were in a committed relationship. And one time, Stiles noticed. By Survivor. Read by Cav. Summary, in which Derek and Stiles are college roommates, and everyone saw this coming before they did. Scott. How do you even get up there? Scott asks, skeptically. Loft beds are tricky enough on their own. He doesn't know what possessed Derek and Stiles to push theirs together. Why would anybody try to create a king-sized loft bed in a teensy tiny dorm room? Unless... Wait, have you guys finally started, you know, doing it? Stiles blinks, cocks his head to the side, blinks again. What? First of all, doing it? Are we in middle school? And second, me and Derek? We're friends. Roommates. Friendly roommates who are friends. Stiles. Scott gestures meaningfully at the 6-foot-high marital bed taking up the center of the room. What? And Stiles calls him oblivious. Why do you need this great big bed if you're not? I fall off my bed. I fall off. You know how I move around when I sleep. Now if I stay in the middle of the bed, I've got more buffer space. I don't wake up by hitting the carpet anymore. Scott remembers dozens of disastrous childhood sleepovers when he'd woken by ones of Stiles' flailing feet or adventurous elbows. I guess that does make sense. Thank you, Stiles replies smugly. See, just because two guys are both bi and roommates, and one of them is really hot, doesn't mean they're having sex. Get your mind out of the gutter, Scott. Stiles pets one of the loft's legs approvingly. Megaloft here has saved me some broken bones on more than a few occasions. And on the rare, rare occasion she doesn't, Stiles adds, his focus on straightening one of the overlapping comforters. Well, Derek usually sleeps on top of me, so he stops me from falling off the edge. Isaac. Isaac's almost done with a particularly tricky problem set when he hears a rhythmic dinging from the computer on Derek's desk. Up on Derek and Stiles' weird combined bed, Stiles starts disentangling himself from the blankets. Are you parent calling, Derek? Yeah. Derek presses a button on the laptop. Hi, Mom. Isaac starts gathering up his notes. I'll give you some privacy. I can do my homework somewhere else. Don't worry about it, Derek and Stiles say in unison. These calls are usually short, Stiles assures Isaac as he climbs out of the bed and starts rooting around in the pile of clothes on the ground for a pair of pants. Can you hear me all right? Is the video working? Asks the laptop. You're coming in fine, Mom, Derek assures her. How are you? Great. How is second semester going? Good. Just aced my psych midterm. Derek scratches his head and looks down at the floor in embarrassment. Good for you, sweetie, Derek's mom coos. And how's Stiles? Where is he, anyway? Stiles finishing buttoning up his pants and clatters over to the laptop. Here I am. Here you are, exclaims Derek's mom, her glee apparent even through the cheap laptop speakers. Did the essay work out? Stiles nods, bending double so the camera can see his face. Thanks for the advice about the conclusion. Anytime, dear. Now, Stiles texted me and said you guys went across the bay to San Francisco for a day. So how was that?
Foggy,
Derek's eyebrows waggle empathetically.
We saw a lot of cool... Stiles wiggles around behind Derek's desk chair to find a comfortable spot in front of the camera.
I'm gonna kill my back this way. Sighing, Derek spins around in the chair to face Stiles, scoops him onto his lap with one perfunctory arm, then wheels back around to his mother, one arm firmly around Stiles' waist.
That's better, Stiles sighs, melting back against Derek's chest.
Stiles and Derek spent the next 7.5 minutes recounting their adventurous gallivanting around Girardelli Square, Pier 39, and, of course, the Castro, all to Derek's mother's delight, until Stiles yelps,
Wait! Class started 2 minutes ago! Derek swears, sets Styles on the ground, then leaps for his backpack. They disappear in a whirlwind of flying coats and books, and not 30 seconds later, the only sign that they were in the room at all is the faint voice emanating from the laptop saying, "Wait, how do I hang up the call? Hello, is this the... No, now I'm in full screen." Isaac approaches the laptop with the caution of a gazelle approaching a wounded lion. He is not good with strangers. "Hello?" "Oh," the dark-haired woman on the screen looks up. "Where did you come from?" "I was..." Isaac waves a hand at the beanbag he was sitting on, out of frame. "Doing homework." "You pressed the little red phone icon." "You were here the whole time?" Derek's mom asks in concern. "Oh, dear. I hope you didn't feel left out." "No, no," Isaac assures her quickly. "Styles and Derek are, good hosts?" The woman smiles broadly. Isaac can see where Derek gets his looks from. "That's my Derek. And Styles is such a dear. I'm so glad they found each other." "Oh, yeah." Isaac glances at the door. "He's so bad with parents. I mean, it was kind of a random matchup from the housing department, but I guess you could say..." Derek's mom chuckles. "Oh, don't worry. I'm hip. We both know what I'm talking about." Isaac's face must look confused because she goes on to clarify. "You know, how Styles is Derek's little boyfriend, or partner, or whatever they're calling it these days. Derek hasn't said anything, but I can tell. They aren't very subtle, and have video talk with them every week." Her face grows more serious. "Could you maybe hint to Derek that I'd still love him if he came out? He and Styles are so in love. I don't want them to feel like they can't talk about it with me." Isaac fumbles with the graph paper in his hands. "I don't think they're actually dating." Derek's mom squints at him in confusion. I mean, we all kind of think they should," Isaac offers encouragingly. "There's been a pool, kind of, in the dorm since, like, they met. But nothing yet. Sorry." Derek's mom inhales heavily as she takes in this information, nodding to herself. "I see." She taps a finger against her chin, takes a thoughtful sip of her tea, then says, "Can I get in on this pool?" Ellison. The dining hall is always so noisy and crowded that sometimes Ellison can't stand it. But hey, their whole gang gets together there every night to eat dinner together like a family, so she has a bit of a soft spot for the place. There's a rhythm to it. Somebody sends out a text to the group thread, "Anybody up for dinner?" They all are, and they march out to the dining hall at 6:30. Ellison eats big at lunch, so she has a salad for dinner, skipping all of the lines and saving them a table. Then she sits, fork in hand, and watches first Erica sit down with her pizza and fruit salad, then Isaac with his meat of the day and chocolate milk, Scott and his burger, Lydia and her brown rice with veggies, and then. Styles and Derek always show up at the same time, two trays in tow, one piled with meat, one with green stuff, and then they sit next to each other and exchange food. "I grabbed you some chicken."
"Chicken?"
"You said you were craving some earlier today, so I thought..."
"No, just surprised you remembered."
"Surprised I remembered? Ha!
Can I steal your..."
"Why do you think I got them?"
"Take some asparagus. You could use the iron. And I stocked up on those red peppers."
"My favorite. And I braved the dessert line for you, I'll have you know. So here's your mooncake."
"I forgot it was Mooncake Monday."
"That's what you have me for. Orange juice?"
"Orange juice."
Satisfied with their meals, Derek and Styles grab their utensils in unison and tug in, their elbows brushing occasionally. Lydia turns to Jackson accusingly.
"You never bring me orange juice."
Boyd. Boyd's showers are his quiet time. Dorm life can be loud and distracting, and Boyd was not designed to deal with college freshmen all day long. So he has long showers at odd hours. Nobody else showers at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Except for today, apparently.
Those two idiots from room 467 will not stop talking. Hang on, did I forget shampoo again? God, I'm a dumbass.
Here.
Out of the corner of his eye, Boyd sees a hairy arm rise out of one of the shower stalls, offering a bottle of shampoo.
Thanks, Dare Bear.
Don't call me that. You love it. There's no reply from Dare Bear's stall, but there's no denial either.
Oh, Boyd thinks. These are the jokers who have people betting good money on them getting together.
Hey, Dare Bear.
The arm rises out of the stall again, holding a bottle of what Boyd assumes is conditioner.
Thanks. I'm going to remember to buy more hair stuff eventually, I swear it.
Don't worry about it.
You're a hairy dude. You need that shampoo to deal with your own fur.
Not that much. Besides, we... Mm-hmm-hmm.
What was that?
The other voice asks in confusion.
I couldn't hear you.
We, I like it when we smell the same, mutters Dare Bear.
Boyd rolls his eyes. The other voice coos.
Aw, you big softy. Now wash my back.
Boyd hears one of the showers shut off, a curtain open, the slap of wet shower sandals against the floor, another curtain open, close, and then,
ah, yes, now there's the spot I can never reach.
You're hopeless, Dare Bear says fondly. Bend over a bit so I can get your lower back.
Boyd hastily shuts off his water and reaches for his threadbare towel.
He needs to get out of here before that loafer gets any lower.
Lydia. Lydia prides herself on being able to hold her liquor. She figured out a formula long ago that told her how many ounces of whatever proof alcohol she should drink in a night, based on what she'd eaten that day, her current weight down to the half pound, and desired level of drunkenness. As such, she's happily warm and tipsy as their wolf pack, as Scott's taken to calling their group of friends, wanders back to their dorm from the frat party. Styles, on the other hand, is smashed. He's clumsy enough sober that he's a disaster when drunk, staggering around, accidentally smacking strangers they pass on the street, and giggling all the while. Luckily, Lydia notes with amusement, Derek's taken it upon himself to keep Styles in check.
Whoa! Styles slurs, stumbling over a crack in the pavement before Derek's arms catch him around the middle and pull him into his side.
Wow, okay, lots of... cracks. On the ground. You've got me, though.
Derek's cheeks are rosy with alcohol and the 2 a.m. cold, but he sounds otherwise sober when he replies.
I've got you.
And you're so...
Styles makes a bodybuilder pose.
You could just pick me up and carry me home.
Grrr,
Derek growls, and swoops down to catch Styles' knees and hoists him up into a sudden, stumbling bridal carry. Styles screeches with laughter and throws his arms around Derek's neck. The whole group has stopped walking now, too distracted by Derek and Styles' shenanigans to be concerned with getting back to the dorm. One of Styles' hands reaches out and caresses Derek's cheek, running exploratory fingers over his cheekbones and stubble. He leans in, and the whole group collectively catches their breath. Lydia, with the precision of a girl who was very popular in high school, can hear their thoughts.
Is this it? Are we about to witness the moment these two have been building up towards for months? Will relationship history be made tonight, and at Derek and Styles' wedding, will we be able to say that we were there?
In that hushed moment of apprehension, Styles' face drifts closer to Derek's, a hand still resting on his cheek, electricity in the air, and finally, when there's barely a millimeter of space between them, Styles twists his head to the side and scrapes his cheek along Derek's in one sudden swipe.
"You're scratchy," he giggles, rubbing his face against Derek's stubble a few times more before flopping his head onto Derek's shoulder. "Now come on, take me home, valiant knight."
Lydia and Erica groan in unison, while the guys all roll their eyes. By the time they're around the corner from the dorm, it's late and cold, and they're tired. Nobody talks. They just trudge across the dew-damp grass of the quad towards their building. Lydia's near the back of the procession. Her heels are proving to be a detriment.
and Derek, still carrying Styles, makes up the caboose. The bell starts ringing 3 in the morning, and Lydia hears, just barely, Styles' whisper of, "You know I, like, love you, man, right?" There's a pause, so long that Lydia wonders if Derek hurt Styles at all. But then, even quieter than Styles, she hears, "I love you, too." It's silent after that, just quiet steps plodding in the darkness. Derek carries Styles up all 4 flights of stairs to their room. Styles. They should really be sleeping. It's a school night. They both have 8 a.m. lectures tomorrow. And if they keep talking, they'll wake up so late tomorrow morning, they won't have time to get coffee together. But damn it, Styles wants to hear the rest of Derek's story. "Professor Keaton didn't know what to say to that," Derek finishes, half speaking to Styles, half to the pillow. "He just stood up at the front with his toupee on sideways and ended up dismissing us 10 minutes early."
"No."
"Yes."
"That's hilarious."
"Most of the class was laughing," Derek allows. Styles scoffs.
"You don't give yourself enough credit, dude. You're hilarious."
"It was a hilarious set of circumstances," Derek amends, pulling the comforter further over his shoulders. Sighing dramatically, Styles reaches over to ruffle Derek's hair. "All right, you humble Hubert." Chuckling, Derek raises an eyebrow.
"Humble Hubert?
I'm improvising." Styles tucks himself further under Derek's arm.
"Shit, now the blanket's off my feet. Yuck."
Derek does a swift sit-up that sets the loft shaking and flips the bright green blanket back over Styles' feet, warm hands tucking the fabric around his toes.
"My hero,"
Styles swoons when Derek lays back down next to him. Derek makes a face, but he lets Styles burrow into his chest in gratitude. Derek is so warm. Styles is glad he has a friend like Derek who likes to cuddle and gets his humor and cares when he's upset and is secretly hilarious and smart and handsome. Derek's fingers brush lightly over the back of Styles' neck. It's so soothing, sending melty little shivers all down his back.
"We should probably go to sleep," he rumbles.
Styles murmurs, "Yeah," and climbs off of Derek's chest, turning on his side.
"You be the big you're ahead of me," he finishes as one of Derek's big, muscly Neanderthal arms loops around his waist, and his breath puffs into Styles' hair.
"Hmm," Derek agrees. He gets nonverbal when he's sleepy. It's adorable. God, Styles just wants this forever. "Hey, Derek."
"Hmm?"
"We're gonna live together next year, right?" He feels Derek's ribs expand, then contract behind him.
"Of course."
His voice is warm. Styles smiles into the dark of their room, squeezes Derek's hand.
"Good. I really like this. You know, us too."
Derek doesn't say anything, and for a terrifying second, Styles thinks he's weirded him out, gone too far, said too much. Then he feels a touch, ever so soft, of lips on the back of his neck. Something in Styles' chest slides into place. It's a deal, then. The next morning, Derek climbs out of bed first, like he always does. He tucks on Styles' ankle until Styles wakes up too, like he always does. They get dressed in a fumbling rush, like they always do. Styles steals Derek's jacket, like he always does. Then they get the same drinks, as always, at the campus Starbucks. They reach Derek's lecture hall first, as always. And then Styles pecks Derek's on the lips and says, "See you after class." Styles smiles to himself as he turns on his heel and walks towards his own classroom. It's about time they shook up the routine. The smile grows broader as he hears rapid footsteps echo down the empty hallway, catching up to him. As he's being tackled to the ground in a warm, muscled embrace, Styles wonders if they'll be able to get any sort of profit out of the pool. The end.